okay, I hate to do it. It's not deliberate, but how is the frame? But we always talk about it because this is the first time we need to look at. It's first time we see it.
I would say I'm more is or it less. Like, I'm pretty much bang on the edge. You've got a bit of space. You've
I feel like it needs to kind of flunk around a little bit.
Probably a little touch. A
little flunkage.
I guess it's the mirror effect.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Yeah, see, I think that's about right.
That's about right.
Yeah, both got a bit of wall.
Well, we've equally divided our wall.
Yes.
Congratulations. We'll fantastic.
Wall divide us.
Now, Mark.
Tony.
How are you feeling, my man? Are you on death's door? Are
no,
you
with I'm us? All right. We've got cold beer. I've got some notes to talk about rugby. We've got a little golden man.
Fantastic.
Posing for us.
Taking a shit. That's the 2C
duty. We're on your channel, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm taking a big old shit.
Big old fucking dump. yeah, that's what the 2C duty does. Very illustrious award ceremony that happens at the end of every year.
Indeed.
Yeah, who's going to win most valuable Saffa this year?
Ooh, up for grabs.
It's really up for grabs. Rian, you better get working. We got to see some real valuableness from you.
Yeah, that's right. And it's up his game.
Yeah.
It's one thing to win it. It's another thing to retain it. And then it's another thing to retain the retention.
Yeah. Defending. Is
exactly.
The other one. Yeah. He's defending champion.
Exactly.
The most valuable Saffa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe he won it over Sir Khaleesi.
Unbelievable.
In a World Cup year.
I know.
That's how valuable that man is.
Exactly right.
It's quite incredible. But Mark, we have just exercised because we're middle-aged men who exercise. Isn't that right?
I've noticed in your neighborhood here, there's quite a few people out and about.
Yeah, it's good, eh? Not so many people in your neighborhood.
Well, even I don't exercise around my own neighborhood.
So you wouldn't know.
So I wouldn't know.
So there might be people out there.
There might be loads of them. They'd love to just give me a g'day. But I'm not there to do it.
Yeah. Do you like the pleasantries when you pass people? When
yeah. Some people give just you a bit down. Of eye contact and a wee smile. Some people give you a, hey.
Yeah.
And some people deliberately look away.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, I do not look at that tall, lanky, sweat
and I
covered,
stare at them.
Yeah. Waiting. Give me some eye contact. I'm going to greet you.
Yeah, exactly. And I wave.
That's it.
I feel like sometimes I'm overly friendly on a run. Did you pick up that vibe from me?
You're overly spitty.
Yeah, I'm a spitter. Yeah.
You would not have been a popular trap during the COVID times when spitting was rather frowned upon.
Yeah, yeah.
Still kind of socially slightly unacceptable. You'd fit in well in China.
Yeah.
Well, even in China, the spitting's getting
down.
Down. Yeah.
I never spit any other time other than exercising.
Okay.
Well, when I'm running, I don't. It's not like I'm at the gym and I'm just hiking everywhere. But yeah, when I can swallow it, but it's just like it ain't nice.
Yeah. You've got a good spit on you.
Yeah, she's got some volume.
Yeah, the first time we went for a run, after about three quarters of it, I felt the need to have a spit, and it was like, bleh. It just kind of like, it was a dribble. But today I had one spit, and it was a whopper. So.
Oh, that's good. Some of mine get some.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't want to run too close to you.
Is that the reason you're
there's going to be some collateral damage. That's why I was hanging back so far.
Hanging back so far.
Not because I'm a terrible runner.
Yeah, I feel bad about the spitting, but I just don't. And it's Pavlov's dog, as well, because even when I just start running, my body goes, oh, we're running, time to spit.
Time to spit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's the thing with a lot of the Chinese, because a lot of the dudes smoke.
Oh.
And smoking, especially if you don't have a drink with you, can make you want to spit.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
And their logic is, I think according to traditional Chinese logic, that's bad stuff, so it needs to go
expel
out.
It.
Yeah, you don't want it in. So they just...
Yeah. And there's
often with the proceeding
the whole that's pretty gross.
Yes, yes.
And there's spitting pots and stuff, is it
no, there's not. I've never seen a spittoon. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that actually, because on my other channel when I did a video about things I don't like about China, one of the things I mentioned was spitting, and I'm angered some Chinese people with that.
Oh really?
And they were like, people don't spit anymore. And in that video where I was talking about spitting, you could even hear a guy in the background but he also mentioned all right, it wasn't that long ago that you Westerners used to spit. And it's true, because I went to MOTAT, which is our museum of technology over here. Really?
Yeah.
One of the trams, the old trams from the 1920s, has a sign on it that says no spitting. If there was a sign that said no spitting, people must have been spitters in the past.
Yeah.
So we've not cleaned up our spitting act that recently. But.
Yeah, right. Well, and now we sit on our high horses.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to bring it back.
Exactly. Tony with his running. Bringing it back.
I feel, but when I go on like an organized run, like when I did the half marathon, I don't spit when I'm around people. My body goes, okay, this is not appropriate.
Oh, really?
I don't need to.
There's something psychological going on there.
Yeah. And I always spit into like grassy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I never spit on that. Yeah, you know, never try to spit
on. You're not just like, look at that old lady. Nail that bitch.
And spit on it.
At the same time.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Jesus.
There was a guy.
That's bad for even for my gender. You shouldn't have laughed like that.
We had remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a new viewer giving us shit, like, oh, bastard. Yeah. We had another one last week as well. Yeah. He was these guys, and he's weird. He went on his own little weird tangent. He's like, you guys are like, would talk about like the zombie, like which rugby player would survive the rugby apocalypse before you talk about the games. And I was like, oh, he's getting distracted in his own little comment. Yeah, I thought he'd fit right in.
Yeah, come on back, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate your comment. Any comment's a good comment.
Exactly. Engage that algo.
Yeah, exactly. But other than the run, you know what I like about a runs? They're milestone runs for you. They're always like the furthest you've ever run.
I've never liked running.
We ran, 8.8 kilometers today.
Okay.
Well done.
It's as far as I've ever run.
I was trying to get you to 10, but
I didn't want to do 10.
I thought you were going to have I was going to have a mutiny on my hands.
Yes.
Yeah. And we start like.
So I didn't know how far we were running, so we could have run 10 and I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to should have done made you do it.
But then I thought you were going to do that, so I would have been right. So you're kind of right not to do it, because now I've got a little bit more trust than you. You said we were going to go 8 and we went 8.8.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've never led you astray. Like when I said we'd do 45 minutes, we did 45
minutes.
But I
didn't trust you. I was like, fuck, this guy's going to make me do longer. Yeah, I've got to hear
it. I've got
trust issues.
Yeah, and then I was like out there. I was like, okay, dude, do you want to do 7, 8, 9, or 10?
And here I'm thinking, this guy's full of shit.
Yeah, you were like, I'm just going to follow you. I was like, okay.
Each answer is definitely 10 kilometers.
No, and then I thought, okay, we'll take him on 10. And you were slightly looking fatigued, can I say, at that point.
Fatigued.
So I was like, I'll check in with him again and try and let him know I'm serious. I was like, what do you want to run? And like, if we did 7, we just wouldn't have done that big loop around the back of the park that we needed to do. That would have taken off a bit of time.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So we did it. Almost nine. You could have done 10. You finished with a sprint finish.
Little bit of gas in the tank.
Yeah, yeah. More gas than you should have if you were really pushing it to your limit.
Probably. But again, I wasn't familiar with the run, so wanted to save a little bit extra.
I think it's the psychological turmoil that I put you through by not knowing quite
Where the fishing line is.
And I made us run past my house.
That's right. That's right. You did prepare me for it, though.
Yeah, I said.
I had a feeling that we weren't going to, because you didn't cross the road. I was like, if we were going to finishing up, we'd be on that side of the road, but we're not.
No.
So I knew something was up.
Yeah. I had to make sure we get over 8, you know. Anyway, Mark, tell me about the rest of your week. What else has been happening? What else has been going on?
Oh, I've been getting up early to watch rugby.
Oh, yeah, you have been. I haven't. Although I did watch a little bit, which is important. You know, I played golf with some clients on Friday.
Okay.
And guess who was teeing off in front of me?
Grant Fox.
No, Julian Savea.
Well, that's close. The rugby player.
He's a rugby player. Played for the All Blacks. Played for the same team.
Both played for the All Blacks.
Both won World Cups.
Yes. A little bit apart.
What other?
They're both backs.
They're both backs. Both have scored tries in their life.
Yep.
Did Grant Fox ever score a try for the
I think he did. Maybe one or two. I think he had one disallowed as well, where there was like the linesman had his flag up.
Like, wasn't the ball boy involved in some?
I can't remember. Yeah, there was definitely one where the try was given. They were getting ready to convert it, and the linesman was just standing there with his flag up.
Yeah.
Prick.
Tosser. What other similarities can we come up with between Julian's?
I mean, I'm sure Julian's kicked a ball before.
Yes.
Grant Fox was a renowned ball kicker.
Okay, yes. Both played. Yeah. I can't come up with much else. I really can't.
That's it.
Grant. They're not even. There's nothing about their names that are kind of similar.
Similar, yeah. They both have a relative who's a famous sports person. Grant Fox's son is a golfer, and Julian's got a famous brother.
Well done. That was pretty good.
Look at me.
Okay, anyway, I saw.
This is convoluted.
I actually said I was
for the three people still watching. I apologize.
Everyone started talking. I saw him, yeah, he was playing at the local golf course, no, at Redwood, which is in Swansea.
Did you go, g'day, Jules?
Well, he teed off right in front of me.
How was his golf game?
Okay, we'll tell you about that. He was in the group right in front of me, and this Asian gentleman, like older Asian gentleman.
Did he look like he was with mates? Did he look like he was with he like, was, sponsors?
He was with another player.
Okay,
I presume he was a player. I can't recognize him, but he had arms that were just right, like
tree trunks.
Yeah, stacked like right. Yeah, like very very athletic. Island man.
Okay.
And I was like, clearly a player. I just don't know his name.
Right.
And then they were playing with this Asian dude, older Asian man who had no idea who the fuck they were.
Really?
Like, yeah. And he was, and then the Asian guy was like, are you playing with us? And I was like, no, I'm not playing with you. And then I just drove down in my cart, and then the other guy goes, you playing with us? And I just said, no, I just want to see All Blacks tee off. So I was just sitting, and that's one of the worst things you can do.
Really?
Because, well, there's always people watching you, tee off when you're teeing off right outside the clubhouse. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, it's Julie Sevilla. I want to watch him tee off.
Yeah.
And he fucking chopped it and didn't even get off the tee box. But
you didn't get your phone out, though.
No. You're I shouldn't not... even say it, but he did. But yeah, I saw him do some other shots that were good and some other shots that weren't great. But his mate, the other athlete, didn't do the greatest. And then, like, they're just...
How was the Asian dude? You didn't watch him. I wasn't
interested. But they were, like, it was quite full, the course, but they were slightly holding us up. So I saw quite a few of his shots. And then there was a point where they were getting held up by the group before and they were waiting on the tee. And I was like, who are you playing this weekend? And he was like, the boys are over in Oz, they're playing the Reds. And I was like, oh, okay, sweet. I was like, you injured? And he was like, no, I've just got a later start. I'm just not starting for a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay. Do you know why? Have any idea?
No.
I didn't ask him at the time. But yeah, that was my brush with Julien Servais.
There you go.
And when he topped the ball and teed off, his mate like turned to me and just was like... And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but then his mate did the exact same thing. And then they were both like, breakfast ball! Yeah. Man. So just a mulligan off the first shot.
There you go.
But I saw him connect with a few good ones.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
So he's
it is a humbling
professional
game.
Rugby player.
Yeah, it's a humbling, humbling game.
Golf, yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I don't think I did particularly. I started really well in that round.
Did Julien see you take any shots or was he long gone?
He was in front of me, so you don't usually look back. Although there was one on... I almost hit them.
That would have been a great story.
Yeah.
It would have been a better story than this one. You never guess who I hit on the golf course.
Gave him concussion. It's 6 weeks on the exactly. sideline. I don't know. But they were on a par five, and I did a pretty good drive, and I was still 190 meters out to the tee uphill, and it's like around sort of a dog leg, and I was like, look... My 5-iron usually goes about 180-ish, but uphill maybe it'll go 170-ish. But it was on a really fluffy, nice lie, like kind of teed the ball up, and I really got a hold of it, and I hit it like on a hard hill straight over the green. It was a great shot. It just ended on the other side of the green, but they were on the green at the time. So No one died. I didn't hear anyone yell.
Right.
But I had no – yeah, I was like, oh. Because then I saw them walk past and I was like, oh, that would have been fine. And then I saw where my ball ended up and I was like, I hit it right at them. But yeah.
Damn.
That's golf.
Close.
Golf stuff. Anyway, that was an exciting story, wasn't it?
There you go.
What an anecdote. I feel bad. I was telling myself I'm not going to share the details of his game, but I just first opportunity.
Straight into it. Yeah. First opportunity. I feel like you're that guy. You've got that like, don't do it. And then as soon as you get the chance, you're just like, bam. Yeah.
Impulse control.
Exactly.
Nothing
non-existent.
Yeah. But Mark, feels quite warm, doesn't it?
It does.
Our new studio in here, those keen watchers of 2C, 2C gets distracted. That's you.
2CGD.
2CGD. We've changed our scenery. This is what, third week or fourth week in here? Fourth week?
Yeah, it must be fourth.
So yeah, because we only did the first episode of the season.
In the other one. She's a warm one. But weather is starting to cool down, I think.
During the summer, it might be quite nice. Yeah. It's a little steamy room for you and I.
But it's nice to have some cold beers.
It sure is. You know what else is nice? to get my surfaces cleaned.
You love your surfaces.
I do love my surfaces.
And you love them being cleaned. Have I got a company
for you? I was just talking about my ball sacks and Grundle.
Actually, you know, when you were running at Carpool Horns, it looks like you were having a wee, like a wee adjust.
Yeah, I was, because I usually run with some sort of, I'm big on like trying not to get chafing.
Okay.
So, like, so one thing I try.
You say chafing instead of chafing.
Chafing. Sorry, pardon me. Chafing. Not chafing, not Paul Schaefer. Imagine Paul Schaefer. Good one, Dave. between your legs.
That's what I call my testicles.
Paul Schaefer, and the other one's the CBS Orchestra.
There we go.
So I try and avoid
with the glasses.
Chafing. Him with the ball guy with the glasses.
Yeah,
but the CBS Orchestra is the other testicle. That's a bit more elaborate. But I usually wear like under things, like legging sort of shorts, just to prevent the shaving. But I didn't wear them, and I was like, I don't want to get shaving. So I was trying to like keep my shorts up between my leg. It's just to prevent the. For people who are listening, that's the sounds of my legs rubbing together. It's not actually the sounds of my legs, it's my hands, but that's what I'm indicating.
That's just what it's like, yeah.
Mm. And that could be it, because I've had that before, and it's fucking painful.
Right.
Like, chafe it, like, the innards of your legs just bleeding. Oof. And every time you step, you're like, and, like, no matter what's happening in your life, you still need to walk around, generally.
I suppose so.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Okay, that's why you were having a wee adjust.
That's what, did you think, just, has he got crabs or something?
Maybe you need some water blasting.
Tell me about it.
Maybe you need some repairs to your masonry.
Do you want me to read a passage?
There you go.
Okay.
We got some beers.
We got some beers.
And they were purchased.
Tweeddale Surfacing Contractors. Are you after servicing contractors and you live in Western Bay of Plenty? Well, have I got the people for you? Fuck me, Dad. Services at Western Bay of Plenty / Eastern Waikato. Not too much.
No.
Oh, not that we. You people in the Eastern Waikato.
Get fucked.
You piss off.
Maybe.
Enough beers and enough money, they might come out. But
this is the.
So am I reading from this?
Point? This is just the correct.
So I was meant to take that out of there. Why did we put lines through it?
Well, I crossed it out there.
Well, it's up here too.
This is the.
All right. So I'm reading from here?
Yeah.
Today's sponsor.
There we go.
Tweeddale Surfacing Contractors, based in Tauranga, New Zealand. The guys at Tweeddale Surfacing Contractors service the Western Bay of Plenty. Yeehaw!
They got lots of cowboys down there.
It's the West. It's the Wild West down there. Did you?
I didn't get that at all.
With top draw painting from commercial to residential, new built renovations, interior, and the other one.
Exterior?
Yeah!
No shit!
They do it all.
Unbelievable.
Wallpaper removal and feature walls. They've got you. Get this. It's surfacing. They've got you.
Covered?
Yeah! They've got you covered. Man, this is fine energy. I dare you to go 3 times higher than what I
can't do it. Oh, you already passed my peak. They can also carry out those niggly plaster repairs. Don't you just hate niggly plaster repairs?
If I paid them enough money and I had chafing that was bad enough.
I don't know if anything can repair that plaster. That's long gone. Joints that are flexing, cracking, peeling ceilings, wall, board, hole repairs, as well as cosmetic repairs to the wood and the masonry.
Do we know about soffits now?
We do.
My fiance told us about soffits.
And people mentioned it in the comments as well.
Oh, really? I didn't read those.
It's kind of like the outside of your house on the upper bit below the
I thought they were called eaves.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a mate who's a builder, and he talks about like soffits things, and I'm just like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. You gotta watch out.
It's all
out.
The jargon.
Gotta watch out.
Builder's jargon.
What is that thing, you know, that little thing around the bottom edge? What's that called?
I don't remember. The skirting? No.
There's probably a word for it.
There's
absolutely a word for it.
Yeah. What are they for anyway?
Pretty.
Yeah, okay.
Are they?
I don't know.
To cover the sort of join?
Yeah, maybe.
Fuck me, dude. I don't know.
Totally ignorant.
Yeah, but what I am not ignorant is
you
Tweeddale.
Can also have them. This is the Tweeddale guys. Water blast your exterior surfaces such as your driveway, footpaths, deck, patio, soffits, and your walls.
Ba-boom. All right.
What do they want to do if they want to get in quote? If they want to get a free quote?
For your free quote, get in touch with the team at Tweedale Servicing Contractors by going to the website, which is www.tscnz.com. That's www.tscnz.com.
Tony definitely won't forget to put this information down in the description. Boom.
And it's sitting here the whole time. That's TSCNZ.com.
I guess that stands for like Tweeddale Servicing Contractors New
Zealand.com. Let them know that you heard about them from
Two Cents Gets Distracted, which is a rugby podcast.
That is a rugby podcast, and they'll sort you out.
Yeah.
They won't give you a discount, but they'll sort you out.
They'll sort you out. You might be able to have some rugby chat while you get serviced.
Yeah.
They're servicing the Western Bay of Plenty. Pukehina to Puke up to Waihi Beach and further could be negotiated.
Do they do Papamoa?
That's all the information I have.
Papamoa, Mount Maunganui?
This is all
pretty
the
close
information.
Pretty close to Tauranga,
isn't it? There we go. But, yeah.
Thank you.
Still on the two easies from Tweeddale. So thank you. You're making our lives too easy.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
And I would be using these guys all day when I need them. So I'm on the non-alcoholic bevvies.
How long you got to go with that?
I think today is day 47, my man.
There you go.
Day 47.
You're over the halfway mark.
I am over the halfway mark. Beautiful. Oh, you want to see something disgusting?
Is it your ball sack?
I won't show you the cut. If I show you, then
they'd
want to see it.
Exactly.
So I won't show them.
You show me later.
Okay, I'll show you later.
If it's your ball sack, let's just know.
Great dick pic, Tones. Thanks for sharing that with me. Brilliant.
All right. I think we missed the dick. I think we talked about this before, but I think we missed the dick pic generation.
Mm.
I think we're slightly too old.
I've done a lot of humiliating things in my life, but I have never, ever, ever sent a dick pic. I think there are people our age who have sent dick pics.
Oh, for sure.
But there must be one. But I've never sent a dick pic. Or one could argue every time any picture
of you is a dick pic.
Yeah, there essentially. Yeah. But yeah.
No. I was looking through for my other channel, the one in China. I was looking at some pictures I
took. 2 cents on tour. Go check it out.
I was looking at some pictures that I took when I was 21 years old and my first trip to China. Yeah. I think I showed you a little bit.
Mm.
But I was still treating the digital camera that I bought. It was brand new. Like first time I had a digital camera. I was still treating it like a camera, like a film camera. Like I only took it with me on like special occasions.
Right. Yeah,
there wasn't
really
much mundane stuff.
Yeah.
So
you weren't just flicking.
I wasn't just flicking pics of my dick, which is pretty mundane.
Flicking pics of my dick.
So, yeah. There's
flicking pics of my dick. The Mark Morgan story.
Exactly. But I did have very long hair.
All right. Yeah, you did. I saw some photos of you.
Tony will put the video.
You
up
looked.
There
was one photo where I swear to God you looked
like a lesbian.
You looked like a lesbian.
Yeah, one of our viewers from the rugby channel viewed that video. It was like that of that picture you're referring to. He's like, that's worth the price of admission alone.
Can you please send me that photo and I will edit that?
No, just they can go watch the video.
Okay, watch the video
if you
want. You want to see a photo of him looking like a lesbian? Go watch that video.
No dick pics.
It's no dick pics, arguably. All right.
We better talk some rugby.
This is a podcast called 2 Cents Gets Distracted, a rugby podcast. So we have to fulfill that promise.
Yes.
And start talking about rugby now. I've already finished a beer.
The Six Nations
resumed
for this like 1 week in the middle of the competition. So you get 2 weeks on, you get a week off, then you get a week on, and then a week off, and then two more weeks. So we're in that, we just had that middle week.
So we've got a week on now.
We got next weekend, nothing.
So the weeks off are falling on your weeks, which is...
Oh, well.
That is what it is.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
Just the way the cookie crumbles.
Yes.
I won't hold it against you.
You got the World Cup final on your one.
I suppose so. Yeah. Again, it's just... Yeah. We don't plan it.
We
just
don't plan it.
That's how it goes.
I got the semi-final against Argentina. That was exciting.
And then I would have got those magic quarterfinals.
Yeah, you did.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Rugby. Wales versus...
Wales played Ireland.
So proud of them.
With their new coach, interim coach. It was the battle of the interims. And Wales was supposed to get flogged because, I mean, France beat them 43-0. They just lost to Italy. They just lost their coach. They've had some changes in the squad. Now, admittedly, Ireland made a few changes. Yeah. They played for Ireland, a somewhat experimental side. They didn't change like the whole 15, but they changed like, I don't know, four or five guys.
Bundy Akeir wasn't starting.
Bundy Akeir wasn't starting. They rotated the midfield. They started different props and they brought back, they started one different prop and they brought back their hooker who's not played a heap of rugby, but he was back starting. Mm. They brought back one of their locks who's back. So they put a different fullback in. It was slightly, not like super experimental, but Wales played really well.
Oh, they were outstanding. I was so proud of them. Like,
they actually attacked with intent.
Yeah, real intent. Like that was what I was you could see that they were really trying things. There was like, you know, short width passes and their width attack, close to the balls. Line. Fellatau was playing like he was 10 years ago.
That's
like, he was an absolute dynamo around there. They were hitting rucks like demons. They were running, you know, interesting, different sort of lines. They were trying things. They were right on the advantage
They
line.
Weren't so deep. Yeah, their attack line was. Yeah, it was a lot flatter, and they were able to get width a lot and get some ground there against the Irish defense, which is usually very stingy.
Yeah, I was really proud of them. Like, I was really, really impressed. I thought that was, look, they're playing the best team in the world at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in a hell of an effort, and this is a team that's ranked lower than Georgia. So,
yeah.
I know that traditionally it's a fairly competitive rivalry between Wales and Ireland, but the gap.
Current state of affairs.
The gap has become a chasm, but.
Yeah. Someone said, I think it's similar to the gap between like Wales and Hong Kong.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, it's the fact that they were able to play at that standard with their backs against the wall showed true grit. And also adventure. We said the week before that the best they could hope for was playing with bravery.
Yeah.
But I thought it was more that it was gallant. It was strong. It was it was. I guess I don't want to say brave because it was more than that. Mm. I'm Irish. Like I'm very very Irish in terms of my DNA. But I am a neutral when it comes to this tournament. So you do always root for the underdog when you're in neutral, so and also just for the overall quality of the
it's
tournament.
Nice to see an upset. It's nice to see a team which is down and out, you know, have their moment in the sun kind
exactly.
of thing,
especially
so,
considering how much shit they've gone through.
Yeah, exactly. And they were just so written off,
and like they've still got bloody freaking 70,000 fans still packing Millennium Stadium,
and they will have walked away entertained instead of just like
bugger.
Yeah.
Another shit loss. Like, they lost in the end, and some pretty, you know, that try at the end, like,
was that bloody fingertip stuff, man.
We'll talk about that in a sec, but, like, there was some players, because one thing we've been saying is, dude, they just seem like they don't have the players, but those players look pretty good.
I know. I've kind of been on the it's the players thing is bullshit for a while, because people, as I said to you before on this podcast, people were saying the exact fucking same thing about the Aussies. Well, they just don't have the players. They just can't compete with South Africa and New Zealand anymore because the players are shit. You know, league's killing the game. The rugby union's fucking dead. They just don't have the players. Well, Joe Schmidt's made some of their players look pretty good.
I'm not saying
they're world beaters yet, but they've certainly looked a competitive side. And I felt like Wales are in the same boat.
Yeah.
They've got guys who you see them play for their clubs and you're like, fuck, he's a good player.
Yeah.
So
there's no reason why they can't be competing.
It's hard to say after just one game, because what is that whole thing about the dead cat bouncing? Coach said that. Like he knew I knew there was going to be a bounce. I knew the side was going to lift. New coach. So now we need to kind of maintain this performance level. So
yeah. They've got to look to improve. Like that team shits on Italy right now. Like if they played to that performance, they would have beaten Italy easily.
Yeah. But
like it just seemed so. They seemed reinvigorated. Mm. Like it was the number 11. What's his name?
Ellis Mee. His name is hilarious in commentary because they're like, "Me, he gets the ball out to me." Fuck you.
It's fuck you. Me drops it. Who is this? Okay.
Who's that guy on the left wing? It's me.
Pass it to me.
It's almost you have him and Harry Potter on one wing.
Me and Potter.
Yeah.
I thought that he looked like quite a star.
On his debut, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other winger scored a fucking hilarious great try. Tom Rogers.
Who's the Murray? No, who's the
Blair Murray, the fullback? He's a Kiwi, but he's fucking good, man.
Yeah, he was super good.
Yeah, he's looked dangerous actually for Wales. Even under Gats, he still looked sharp. Like he looked the most likely to do something. Jeez, but he looked even better in this game.
Yeah, right move to get Gats out of there. But boy, this team.
If you're Gats, how are you feeling? If you're Gats watching that game, are you hoping Wales do well? Or are you kind of hoping they play shit so you can go, see? Wasn't me.
I don't know Wayne Gatland.
Gatland.
Yeah, I don't know Warren at all. I would like to think that
he's the bigger man and he'd want the best for them.
The team is like, I want the best for them. And I'm sure.
But it's got to be a little bit heartbreaking to be like, holy shit, these guys are playing well.
I was the problem.
Yeah.
And it looked as though it looked like coaching stuff, like playing closer to the advantage line, playing more attacking lines.
And also they picked the team, which was like, they picked a 10 at 10, Gareth Anscombe at 10. They didn't pick a 12 at 10.
Yeah.
You know, they picked their star 13 at 13 instead of having this guy who's a 12 play 13.
Yeah.
You know, so they played guys in sensible positions.
They look like a team, like, I feel like Warren has just been trying to re-coach that 2019 team that almost beat the Springboks in that quarter, in that semi-final.
Yeah.
He's just continued to be like, well, if we just do the hard things better than everybody else, and we just grind other teams down and just don't give them anything. And everyone else has moved so far on, but this team was like, we're going to play rugby.
Yeah.
Like, we're actually going to, like, give it air and play on the attacking line. Yeah. Like, not try and defend a game, but win a game.
That's it.
Like, and it was... So, it seems like coaching stuff. So
it does seem... I think I mentioned it before as well, but it kind of reminded me. Remember when Fozzie had this initial couple of assistants? They were just kind of like playing, let's just chuck it around and wait for Richie Moonga to do something crazy. Yeah, and then they actually, once they sacked like Plumtree and Brad Moore, they got in the other guys and they just seemed a different team.
Yeah.
So it's like they were lacking some kind of
coaching
structure.
Coaching is huge.
Right? Yeah, it's such a massive difference. So it feels like the same thing. Again, it's only 1 week, but the initial progress seems to be there.
Yeah.
We're talking all about Wales. We haven't talked about Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, Ireland won the game.
Yeah, Ireland did win the game. And the thing about it was, like, I don't think they're losing any stock by having a close game with that particular Welsh team. Because if you watch rugby, you know that team, the Welsh, were playing very, very well.
That's it.
But the thing about them, like, the Welsh were playing out of their skin.
Yep.
The Irish are playing not quite to their level, but not that far below.
And they've mixed it up, as I mentioned. So I think the guys who came in, who don't usually play, will certainly benefit a lot more from having a hard crack against Wales than having just, if they just beat them by 50.
But it still looked so easy for them at times to be able to score points. Like, just take advantage of a drop ball, kick a 50-20, put them on
Sam
attack.
Prendergast, like, he's not the best defender, but fuck, he can kick a ball.
Yeah, he sure can. And like they, you know, and they just seem to get themselves into the right zones when they needed to, and get points against the run of play.
Yeah.
And then
even with a red card, we haven't even mentioned that. Gary Ringrose was pretty dumb red card.
Yeah. It was late
even
in the game.
Even with the 20 minutes, was it end of the first half, right? Because they came on the start of the second half.
They said
it's going to be a red.
And they made the most of that, the Welsh.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was good.
That's right.
So
if it had been 15-on-15 for the whole game, Ireland might win it by a bit more. But
it was a little bit of an injustice that the Welsh didn't get a bonus point.
They also had one that there was a kind of a weird high tackle where, like, Henry Thomas, the reserve prop, tackled the guy like with his chest.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, chest on head is fine. And I was like, okay.
I was like, isn't just head contact head contact?
Yeah, exactly. Well, if it's your shoulder, you're getting the red card. But if it's your chest, you're good as gold.
Yeah, right in the bony bit of your sternum.
Sometimes rugby is fucking weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It is, and you get a hit on the top of your head, that can really just knock out your equilibrium quite badly. But okay, tell me about what your thoughts on try, no try, knock on, no knock on, end of the game. Who was the man who got it? Was that...
Ellis, me.
Was that me?
It was me. Yeah, it was me.
It was you.
It was. Fingertips on the ball. To me, it looked like he grounded it short.
Yeah.
It looked short. But then...
Fingertips stay on it.
So...
You're quite allowed to,
I would have thought if there's no separation, then it's not a knock-on. I would have thought it's just like, almost like sliding, you know, like if you slide over the line prior to the try line, yeah, and you slide over it, it's not a try.
Not a knock on any day of the week, so, in my books. You're at the act of putting the ball down. You're putting the ball down. Your fingers don't come off it. That's a try. But the only thing I wanted to look at further, I'm still not convinced it was a try, was the other hand on whether it actually, whether he got the ball down before his other hand touched the ground.
Oh, right.
So I think they needed to look at, that was the thing that was, but like, that was the wrong call. Like, you're,
I thought up until that point, Wales had actually been a little bit fortuitous with some of the TMO calls. Like, they stopped an Irish line out for like a push, which was kind of like relatively innocuous, that you wouldn't necessarily think the TMO is going to get involved with that one, but they pinged Ireland for it.
Yeah.
And then they, as I said, they didn't ping Henry Thomas for that chest on head. And I was like, oh, Wales are kind of getting some of the 50-50, yeah, but then that 50-50 with the potential try they didn't get. So
would have been massive though. Going and winning at halftime. Yeah. And then they got, if they got that try, they would have had a kick to get in the lead. Is that correct at that point?
I think so. Yeah.
And then they conceded two late penalties. That's, I think, right. And then that was all she wrote.
Yeah, there's no bonus point for Ireland, which in the scheme of things leaves Ireland, I think, a touch vulnerable, just because if they lose to France, then that brings other teams into the race. Like, England got a losing bonus point against Ireland. Remember when they got a couple of late tries?
I think everybody would have been like, come on, Wales. Yeah. Like, they would have loved Wales to get over it. I just want it to be as tight can be last weekend. But it's, unless Italy do the unthinkable, which I don't think they will.
Against
Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland's got France next though.
Okay, so that's a big game.
The big game.
And then they just, if they lose that, they need to ensure that they get maximum points out of Italy.
Yeah, I think then it'll just depend on where all the bonus points are sitting, because you could potentially have England, France and Ireland all with one loss. If Ireland win the France game, they're probably going for a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
And then
you
can't be touched.
Yeah. If Ireland beat France,
then it's pretty much all she wrote.
That's lights out, game over. But if they lose,
then it's it leaves the door open.
And then who is England playing in the last week?
They got Italy next week and then Wales. So England's draw actually has gotten easier each game.
Yeah, right.
Ireland, France, Scotland, Italy, Wales. Although Wales is suddenly looking like a bit of a different prospect.
So we could be in a world where Ireland beat England, England beat France, and France beat Ireland.
Yeah, so you could potentially go into a world where three teams have got one loss.
Yeah, right.
Going into that last round.
And the poor old Scots.
Scots are just out of it.
That was a good game.
Did you watch England Scotland?
I did watch that one. I watched
it. It was a 1 point game where the team who had three tries to one ended up losing. And some people would argue England didn't even score the one they scored.
I can't even remember the
Tommy
one.
Freeman.
What did he do?
He scored a kind of try from on like the 9th minute. Just barged over from close range.
Yeah.
And they argued that there wasn't like a clear grounding.
The guy was right on Johnny on the spot.
So yeah, the ref was Johnny on the spot. The replay that we see, I don't think ever shows a grounding, because it looks like Finn Russell's hands under the ball.
But it doesn't go all the way through to the end of the motion.
I know, that's the thing. So the ref was right there. And then after they kicked the conversion, I don't know if everyone's, because we get the different feed from like ITV or whoever the guys in the UK get. We get the international feed, so we did hear the TMO speak to the ref after the conversion just to say, hold on a second, let me check something. And then as they were kind of jogging back to restart the game, the ref TMO was like, oh, no, that's all right. Like, go on.
So it must have been fine.
So I'm assuming the TMO was like, oh, it's fine.
I saw it. It's all good.
But yeah.
We didn't get a pop, pop.
No.
Okay. Well, then it was a try then.
I'll trust the officials. I'll not assume it was a conspiracy against the Scots. Because the Scots have been, they've been scarred by a few like refereeing calls.
Wasn't there one where they scored a try?
France scored like a late try against them last season.
No, they scored a try.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Against France.
And then it was disallowed. Like I said, it was held up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a bit of bullshit. Well, is it bullshit?
But ultimately, the Scots didn't kick their goals.
Yeah, three
shots, none.
6 points.
And they're also saying that Finn Russell was apparently made to take, I didn't notice it at the time, but I've seen it on Reddit. Like, he sets up the ball, like, in line with where Doohan scored that final try.
Doohan.
The touchy comes in as like, nah, like, he pulls him 2 meters to the left, so he makes them kick it from further out than it needed to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think he just...
And he misses it by about 2 meters to the left.
Well, he's still lining it up, so he could have still missed it 2 meters to the left.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, he didn't.
It's one of those ones where, and then the Toje, like at the breakdown, like I've been sent a couple of pictures by people, like, oh,
was that the one where he was like in midair and he just had his, he had his hands on the ball for ages from what it looked like to me, yeah. And then he kind of got lifted.
It's hard to know from a still picture, was the, had the referee already blown the whistle for like, oh, he's won that, that ball.
Yeah, I thought he got lifted after he had hands on balls.
I thought so as well, but I told you he's very good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Who are we?
Him and Jamie Ritchie were very good at the breakdown.
Yeah, they were going tit for tat, really, weren't they?
It was a game of breakdown turnovers. It was like kind of a low scoring game, 16-15, but...
Yeah. I thought, like, obviously, it was a contrasting styles as well. Like, the it seemed like a, there was a, early on when the two tries were stunners from the Scots. Yeah. And they were just absolutely...
Duhan's always got a good game in him against the fucking English as
Yeah, I thought he was really, really, really good in that first half. Just, and I don't say this lightly, but I don't say it with complete... don't take me wrong, but there's something kind of Lomu-ish about him when he runs. Right. He's a big, tall lad, but he's like, he's not the bounce off Lomu. Yeah. He's not the like, just, but he's got the, Lomu had, and people don't talk about underrated footwork.
Yeah.
Could like really delicate footwork and just swivel.
Yeah,
and like
Lomu was faster than he should be looking at his body size and more agile. And I think Duhan's similar.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a big man who's got twinkle toes and he's
The twinkle toes
fucking big thing. And fast. So yeah, and I get what you mean.
It's irritating. I find him to be a little bit frustrating actually, because he plays these amazing games and does these things where you're like, shit, this guy could be the best in the world.
Yeah.
And then he for the second half, I know he scored the try at the very end, he just drifted through.
Mm.
Like he wasn't involved at all. He was just sitting on his wing, just waiting for it to come out, and they were like not passing it to him on the last thing because he would have got bundled into touch a lot of the time. But yeah, he seems to like go into this into within himself and start drifting through games. But in those other teams and those other tries that he scored, he wasn't the man on the wing.
No, he was.
He was like third in. He was like playing more of a center role and like attracting two defenders and getting a great offload away. Like he and then
he needs to look around more work.
Yeah, I think so. Like he's got something. He's when he. He can do things that most other players can't.
Yep.
Like, he's real, real class, but I just want to see him get involved a little bit more. Mm. Like, maybe I'm being harsh. He set up two great tries and scored one.
Yeah.
But in that period where they were, the English were coming back into the game, he just disappeared. You know, I know he scored that last try, but he was barely a notable figure of any description other than the try in that second half.
Yeah.
You know?
How do you think of the way England played?
If you want to watch an exciting game of rugby, watch England play, not because it's like thrilling, but it's going to be tight as all if, and you don't know which way it's going to go right until the very end.
Yeah.
Like they could lose it from anywhere. They could almost win it from anywhere. Yeah. They could like being an England fan, you would have maybe have lost a few years off your life in their last few games. Cause they're always nail biters.
Yeah,
you know, they seemed as though they every time they got into like the attacking third, they dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And just get that punted away, and then the Scots to fall their ability just to be able to peel them in the early on, thinking
they got punished a little bit for kicking the Scots too much ball as well. Yeah. Like you fucking kick into the likes of Duhan and the rest of those Scottish outside backs, it was asking for trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I also thought that from the Scots looking like it was so easy for them to find that space very early on and get those points, they then just were unable to convert when they were in attacking zones.
That's
like they lost all cohesiveness.
Yeah, well, the halftime score was really close. I can't remember what it was. Was it 10-7 or something? But it was like 22 entries was like 8-2 or something. And it was like, I think at the start of before the first half was over, England had already been into the 22 once and they scored 7. So it said like, points per 22 entry was 7, and the Scots was like 1 because they just they fucking couldn't convert
on
all
their points, and then they miss all the kicks.
Yeah,
yeah, that's bad news for our boy Finn, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh well, what can you say? Get your kicks.
It's just another year of just also ran.
Yeah.
Fourth place. Probably.
Probably. Who have they got next?
Oh, they've got Wales, so at Murrayfield, but who knows where this Welsh side's going to be at.
Come on, Wales.
So yeah, it's a disappointing one for them. But England break their losing run against the Scots.
Yeah,
they had lost four in a row. So they get the win. They get one at home. Calcutta Cup
keeps the no offense to Scotland, but it keeps a little bit more intrigue. Oh, how many games did the Scots lost going into this?
Basically, that game was whoever loses this one is done. So Scotland would have still been alive, but with an away trip to France in the final round.
So you think the English have got a little bit more of a...
Given that their draw of Italy then Wales, yeah,
they should
win their final two.
And with a bit of luck, get maximum points as well.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, sometimes their attack looked pretty flat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they were sometimes just putting nothing kicks, or a couple of kicks like out on the full.
It was.
You could hear the crowd jeering them, like, fuck's sake,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. It like, was.
Sometimes there's space. They got some fucking good. I mean, they blew at least one when Ollie Lawrence like threw some miracle offload after Marcus Smith had a line break. I think Lawrence helped set up the initial line break. So they did have some.
And the flick was on, but he just rocketed it out of his hand.
And then the Scots had a similar moment later on in the second half when they were forcing it. So yeah.
These games are high tension, high pressure. So I think sometimes you can be fooled into thinking they're better games than they actually are. But they're still entertaining because, you know, there's so much...
Because it's a big occasion.
Yeah, pomp around it and all that sort of stuff. But it was a little bit of... I enjoyed it just because I was invested.
Yeah, 1 point game. What's not to enjoy, right?
Yeah.
Last minute try.
Yeah, but just quality wasn't up there.
Mm.
A little tiny bit of a dirge.
Now, the last one was France against Italy in Rome.
I didn't watch it.
This is the kind of game that, like, if it had finished 15-16, you might have tuned in for a replay.
Can I tell you, can I give you my thoughts on what happened?
You can.
Okay. I think that the French got early points through the door. Where was it played?
In Rome.
They got an early try. The Italians then came back together to rally around and got a try to counter them. So it was one try all-ish after 9-ish minutes. Then the French go bang, bang. So the game, you're like, this isn't really going the way you want them to go. So then we've three tries going into this, and that'll take us through to around about 18, 21 points. So I'm like, how many points did they get?
It was 73-24.
We had a few more tries to make up for. And then it's just the gates open, the gates of hell
You're
open.
Not too far off. I think the Italians scored first.
Oh, okay.
I think the French had a try denied for a forward pass.
All right, yeah.
And then Italy went kind of sucker punched them down the other end. They scored a really nice try.
You thought, it's on for Donkey Kong?
Not really, because France replied pretty much immediately. Italy kicked a penalty. France scored a try. It was kind of tit for tat for like 25 minutes. It was still within a score. And then France, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much all over before halftime. And then by second half was a romp.
And Dupont had a field day?
Set up, he got two and he set up three.
Wow.
Yeah. Bielbiere set up three and got one. He got dropped for this one because he dropped too much ball in the game before. So they played Antisogbe, he got one and set up one. It was weird because they had 7-1 split as well, but most of the tries came through the backs. Yeah, so the
did he go move to 10?
Yeah, he moved to 10, played the full 80. So
I don't like him so much.
He kept doing these wee little snipes from 9 and just getting a little bit of ground. And their offload was like fucking amazing. They offloaded so much ball.
Do you think they played with a bit of a foul taste in their mouth?
I think so. I think the coach was just like, show me how you play rugby.
Yeah.
And just fucking go for everything. And they did. And they just, this time the passes stuck.
Ba-bang.
And this time they scored a bunch of tries. So.
Nice. Well done, France.
Yeah, it's not the kind of game that you really need to go back and watch too much because...
Well, I was
I
like,
mean, there's some fucking
I
good
always
highlights.
Planned to watch the highlights, but then I found out... I did the dumb thing. I was on my phone this morning and I was like, I don't care if I get a spoiler. It's fucking whatever. And then your videos, like, you know, in the app on your phone, they start, if you hover over them for too long, they start to play.
Yeah.
And then I saw your video and it's got the score and it said 23, 24, 73. And I saw it.
It was 23.
And I saw it as, I didn't see it. I thought that it must have been there.
Right.
So I saw it as 24, 23. And I thought,
the Italians got
whoa,
up.
Whoa, what a result. Holy shit. And I was like, oh, I should have watched it. Damn. And then I looked a little bit longer. And I was like, is that not a seven, is it? Oh, it's a seven. Oh, okay. All right. That makes more sense.
It's weird with the Italians. Like, I feel like they have, like, as good as their improvements are and as much as they've improved, like, they've got a capitulation in them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take anything away from the French, but at times, the Italians were just like, I'm not contesting these rucks. Fuck this shit. And then they would just stand off the French and just they would just offload. And eventually, they find space.
Yeah. So it was just a bit of a training run by the end of it?
Kind of, by the end of it. And, like, Ramos kicked the most of his goals. I think he kicked eight, so... That's what happens when you kick conversions. A lot of them are from the sideline.
And then he's points a pretty good goal kicker. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Finn Russell could have done with those kicking boots.
That's the thing.
Those
booty
boots.
Yeah. No, they scored some good ones.
Well done, France.
Yep.
So, obviously, a bonus point for them. Keeps them in the running. Italy are gone. Wales are gone. Scotland's gone.
Yep, so it's a three horse race. France need to win in the next game basically to stop Ireland from just getting that grand slam.
Huge game.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Oh wow. So it's got a week off and then 2 weeks to finish.
Yep.
Alright. Why do they need buys in a competition this short?
Player welfare? Although a lot of the players go and play club rugby.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of them do.
So, yeah, it seems as though, like, it's not, like, I can understand buys when you're playing an 18.
We do 18 it in the rugby comp. Championship because it's like, now, the way it's structured now is like they played, like, two games in New Zealand and they have a bye week as they travel across the world to play somewhere else. Like, they fucking go a lot of time zones. So, it makes sense to kind of give them a... It used to be a worse travel
South
schedule.
South Africa is on the other side of the world.
Literally.
Yeah. It's a wee way away.
But in the Six Nations, yeah, they just have a week off.
A little weeky week, eh?
Yeah, that's it. So next round, Scotland playing Wales, which is kind of a dead rubber, but I mean, Wales have got lots to play for in terms of pride.
And Scotland will be wanting to not let them get one up on them.
That's it.
Could be a little saucy boy.
Ireland are playing France, which is the game of the round. England are playing Italy. England have never lost to Italy, and it's at Twickenham. So
have they never, ever lost?
Never, ever. Neither have we.
I know we haven't. We've never lost to the Scots either.
Did you know there was an Irish rugby show that said like Ireland could win against Wales with like 12 or 13 men or something? They were like, ha 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 ha.
Was that the RTE?
Off the ball.
Off the ball.
They got heaps of shit for it.
Yeah, they talk so... Those guys really...
What's something we could say as arrogant Kiwis that would come back? Because it seems it gets a lot of attention if you say something ridiculous like that.
Something arrogant... we only lost the World Cup final because we had a red card against Sam Kane that could have probably maybe been a yellow card. There you go.
I'm supposed to go like future arrogant.
Oh, still, I'm just trying to say one thing that I know will bait a response.
Okay, there you go.
Look below and tell me if that baited a response.
But yeah, that was the Six Nations round three.
I'm still trying to think of something we could say that would...
think about it. You can say Super Rugby's awesome because it was fucking good again.
I only watch one game. I host a rugby podcast and I don't watch. I'm sorry. This week I had to go to a 40th on Saturday night and I had an emergency golf game to play on Saturday.
Emergencies.
It was.
Julian Savia was there.
That was on Friday.
Oh, okay. So you had two games of golf.
Yeah, I played on Friday and played on Saturday.
Jeepers. Should have a golf podcast.
Sorted out my slicing. Oh, the still slice off the drive still comes a little bit back, but I'm really trying to close that face on impact.
Close that face.
Close that ass. Let's clap those cheeks.
Well, the Chiefs won.
I know. I saw that game.
And they're looking very good.
Yeah, they look outstanding. They look...
just up front, Super Rugby 2 weeks in a row has basically looked
pretty quality.
Fucking awesome.
Like, really, really fun rugby.
There's a few haters who are giving it, oh, these teams are scoring so many points, the defenses are shit. But I don't know that, like, there's a direct, like, lots of points, good attack equals bad defense. Sometimes guys are just fucking good.
Yeah.
And really, they're encouraged really to play attack in rugby.
Threatening players.
I'm not saying like some people are like, well, this is not going to do well at test level. Well, this is not test match rugby.
No, it's not.
This is super rugby.
Nice.
For better or worse, they play a fucking attractive brand of rugby.
Yeah, what a weird burn. Like, your rugby's too attractive. Yeah. Like, oh.
That'll never win you a World Cup.
It has. Yeah, in
2015.
Yeah, 2015. That was like
pretty attractive rugby.
Attractive rugby. About the only one that's been.
But the Chiefs look good. They beat the Crusaders 44-24.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was tight at halftime.
Again, the Crusaders. No, the Chiefs, big second half.
Yeah, huge second half. Cortez Ratama comes in and adds a real punch.
Quintupire played well.
Yeah, I thought he played really, really well. 17-all early in. They take a kick to take it to 17-all in the start of the first half. And then, what's his name? Aussie fella comes on for the Crusaders. I'm not saying it's his fault, but it just coincided with him a little bit.
Aussie fella? Oh, James O'Connor.
Came on, and then it was like, oh. Everything went to absolute shit. And then they just started scoring some fucking Harlem Globetrotter shit tries.
Yep.
And it was just, it was champagne rugby.
Good.
Champagne rugby.
I feel like the Chiefs have firmly established themselves as the favourites at this point after two rounds.
They often do.
Yeah, then they fuck up the final.
They fucked up the final. And then, no, actually last year, the guys who were like the Hurricanes were really good last year. Okay, I heard Moana Pacifica.
They played the Reds and lost 56-36. I watched the start of that game. Reds were like, fuck you, 21-0.
Yeah, and then
I was like, oh, so Moana Pacifica are shit and the Reds are pretty good.
And Moana Pacifica
got it back
came
to
back
within
into
like
it.
A score.
Yeah, and then it went.
And then it all went down the shitter.
They got themselves back in the game.
That winger, Tomo Folau, good. He's quick. He's got
he's
footwork.
Real quick.
He's
played for Tonga, though. Can't play for us. He's good one. Dude.
Yeah. We got lots of
I mean, that's there. Good. I mean, great.
He's a Kiwi, that's, I think. He's born in New Zealand, raised in New Zealand.
And then he gets an opportunity as a
Tonga,
teenager. And then he plays
he's a good player. Him. Tonga needs good players, so.
I know, but I'd like to have a good. I like good
Fraser McCright looks good.
Yeah.
Scored a nice try, running support line.
Yeah, very
They've
good.
Got a bunch of trash with their forwards. The Hurricanes played the Drua.
Now, tell me about that game.
Now, that I one know. Finishes 38-34, so you might think that's a cracker, but it was. It was kind of like what you mentioned. It was like a good kind of shit game.
Dirge.
Like, both teams kind of fucked up a lot of stuff. Like, you wouldn't be looking at either of those teams and be going, whoo!
Don't want to catch them.
No, not really. Like, even Duplessis-Kariffi, after they'd won it in the post-match interview, was kind of like, yeah.
Not our best.
We didn't play our best. Like, he played well. Cam Roygaard played well. The Drua led multiple phases. They led with like five. They scored a try with like 5 minutes to go. And I was like, oh, the Drua. It was in Napier. Great crowd. It was like, they're going to get an away win because they always shit on the road, but they played really well. And then the Kane scored like 2 minutes later. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, well.
So.
Good stuff. It was an exciting.
But there was just a lot of errors, but it was great
did
crowd.
Anyone, they're notorious for streakers down there. Did anyone streak?
No streakers.
That's good.
No streakers.
Well, I like a streaker, but it was, the Warriors played there. I think it was
there was like four streakers or something, right?
It was an outrageous amount of streakers. Yeah, they just could not stop streaking. It was ridiculous.
Must be something in the water down there.
Yeah.
The Highlanders played the Blues. Beat us 29-21.
I was going to this. Because on the way back from the golf, and I heard the start of it, but then I had to like quickly get ready for the 40th, and then I went to the 40th, and you know, it's a 40th, people aren't watching the rugby, and I just sort of checked on my phone as I went to the loo, and I was like, oh, Canes have taken the lead, and I was like, oh shit,
the Landers.
Highlanders take the lead, and I thought, take a lead, hopefully we can get one back, and then checked another 10 minutes later, and I was like, they lose, and I was like,
the frustrating part of that is
tell me about the game. Like
Dan Leonard Brown, one of their props, had a red card.
Yeah.
And he was already on for an injury to a prop. So they had to lose two players and go golden oldies. So even with double man advantage, we could not win.
God,
that man, Timothy Tavatavanawai, was fucking incredible.
I saw one where he gets a turnover.
He was winning turnovers.
And then he kicks a 50-22.
He was just unbelievable.
Like turning heads, like,
fuck yeah.
Is he eligible?
Oh, yeah. For us and for Fiji.
Let's get him.
He was
we don't do a lot for our.
But also, like, fuck me, man. Like, Bowden Barrett.
How's he playing?
Like, just nothing kick. Like, too deep to be contestable.
Yeah.
But not that deep that you make them run backwards to get it. So it's just a gift kick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they've got these two guys who fucking play sevens on their wings. They're fucking lightning. Why would you do that?
Mm.
That is like, I don't mean to tell Bowden Barrett how to play rugby, but that was stupid.
A little bit rusty, maybe.
Just dumb.
Rusty.
Maybe he just didn't get the weight on his kick right, but it just seemed I was fucking frustrated. I get more wound up watching the Blues than I do the All Blacks.
Really?
That's so fucking annoying. But it's something comforting about having low expectations for the Blues for so long. Then they won it last year. I was almost like uncomfortably like, oh my God, they're successful.
Yeah.
Now they're none from two, bottom of the table reigning champions. I'm like, oh, this is normal. This is where I'm comfortable.
I don't like it. Like, I was in the toilet. I had a fuck. And then I was like, all right, well, I have to go outside and be happy now.
Yeah.
You know, life goes. But it's two games in. Is there any positive signs for us?
If we stop making bad decisions, then maybe. The forwards need to, I think, get a bit more grunt going on. We should be dominating the Landers pack up front, but we weren't.
Plumtree, how's he playing?
Plumtree.
Your Plumbers.
Oh, Harry Plummer.
Yeah.
Because Tane Plumtree plays for Wales now. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't say he's in the All Blacks conversation at the moment.
Apparently, Bowden's not in the All Black conversation.
Yeah. The other one was the Brumbies lost at home to the Force for the first time in, I can't remember how many times.
What a result.
Yeah, 45-42. The Force score, I didn't see that one either because that was, I went to bed early to get up for the Six Nations and it was late one. But the Force scored a try with 13 guys on the field. They had a heap of yellows. Wow. And yet they still scored to get the winning try late on. So they had an intercept try, they had cross kick tries. It was pretty nice. All the highlights. It looked like they played quite a game.
I haven't even watched the highlights. I feel terrible. I don't feel terrible, but I should have watched the highlights.
But yeah, who would have picked the Force to be 2 from 2 after two?
Yeah. So tell me, is that all the games on the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Have we got a bye next weekend? The Blues?
The Crusaders have got the bye.
Okay, good. So who are we playing?
We're playing the Hurricanes away. Which doesn't look winnable at the moment.
Well, they didn't play well. God.
They didn't play well either, but they got a win.
So we could be 3 from 3 losses, and then from there it's basically win them. Win as much. Well, obviously you want to win as much.
I suppose so.
Jeez, this is grim, man.
Moana Pacific's playing the Highlanders over on the shore.
This is classic.
How do you reckon the Moana guys are going to go for a crowd at North Harbour Stadium?
Should we go along, should we?
To watch the game at Albany.
There's a decent Pacifica population on the North Shore.
Is there?
Yeah.
I don't go to the shore very much.
Birkdale, Northcote, areas of Northcote.
Albany, that's where the stadium is.
Well, I'm saying the North Shore. Like, it's not everyone in Albany is going to go. There are Islanders everywhere.
Is it only Island fans who will go to the Moana Pacific games? That's their target market.
Yeah, that's one thing I said to Julian Salvea. I said to him, oh, good luck for the season, man. You're my second favorite team. And then the other guy, and then he goes, oh, thanks, man. And then the other guy, whose arm's fucking the size of my torso, piped up and he said, well, they're your favorite. And I said, oh, I'll beat the Blues and they'll be my favorite. And they were like, they gave me, I don't know if they didn't really crack up big time, but they gave me the cursory sort of polite laugh.
Right.
So.
Okay, that's good of them.
Yeah, I felt seen.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Respected.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got the Highlanders at home, if you can call North Harbour Stadium home.
I don't mind it there. You ever watched a game there?
I have been to see Australia play Italy there at a World Cup.
I think we've had this conversation.
And I've seen the Blues play the Sunwolves there in Super Rugby with my mum.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably it.
All right. That was for you, Mark.
I don't go onto the shore that much.
Sure you can. A great place. That's where I'm from.
Not really a shore guy.
I'm a shore boy.
Yeah. The Waratahs are playing the Drua at home. Waratahs are coming off the bye.
Tars should get it.
You would think so.
Hopefully the Drua get a win sometime.
Chiefs are playing the Brumbies, which will be an interesting test for Super Rugby because we haven't had any Aussie sides on this side of the Tasman
and
yet.
The Brumbies are always considered to be
the best of the Aussie teams, but they just lost to the Force.
The Chiefs
have looked fucking incredible.
And they're often considered, Force are often considered the worst.
That's right.
So the Force are 2 from 2.
The Force are 2 from 2. We are none from 2. They are 2 from 2.
Shit.
Yes.
That's not good.
We've got the Hurricanes, as I mentioned, and the Force are hosting the Reds over in Perth.
All right.
Have you been to Perth?
No, I've never been to Perth.
Me neither.
I've never been to any other states of Australia other than I've been to Victoria, Queensland, and New South Wales.
Me too. Those are the three I've been to. I've never been to Adelaide, been to Perth.
Never been to South Australia, never been to the Northern Territories.
No. I've been as far up as Western Australia.
So that's, isn't that Northern Territory?
No, that's still Queensland.
Ah.
I've been to Townsville, but about...
That's definitely Queensland.
They were a bit racist, but that was a long time ago.
Well, they were like, get out of here, honky.
No, I was a child. I was only
get out of here, 10, young honky kid.
And I remember we were crossing a pedestrian crossing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when you do the little wave to the cars that stop for you at the pedestrian crossing, and we gave the little wave. And then across the other way were some Aboriginal people coming the other way. And then
Indigenous Australians.
And then
I don't think you can say that word.
Okay, I apologize. Don't cancel me. It's ignorance rather than malice.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
But they got honked at. And they're like, get the fuck out of the way. And I was like, ooh.
That's... You said the word.
Sorry. Don't demonetize Tony's channel, YouTube. Bleep it. Bleep it. It wasn't me. It was the people of Townsville. It was some prick driving a Pajero.
You don't need to say the word, though.
Oh, sorry.
Like, it's like saying the N-word.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't know that. I apologize.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't say it. I just
heard
it.
You're gone, mate. Career's over.
I'm sorry.
I'm not muted.
As I said, ignorance rather than malice.
Should I mute it?
You should.
I have to find this.
Yeah. You got me demonetized once with like some Japanese penis thing.
Talking about sorry.
Okay, so yeah, that's that. And one last bit of rugby news.
Oh, Caleb Clark?
Caleb Clark.
A naughty boy on his motorbike.
Speeding on his motorbike, evading police.
Yeah, Caleb, apparently Roger Tua Fast the Shit got him into motorbike riding.
Oh, really? He got done for drunk driving while he was with the Blues, I think.
Oh, right.
RTS. And now Caleb Clark was speeding and didn't stop for the police. So I'm going to give you a hot take.
What?
As an All Black, he's probably going to get discharged without conviction.
Yeah, he might do.
It's generally how that goes. You'd have to do something pretty serious as an All Black to actually get convicted.
Well, you could get 3 months in prison for that.
Something tells me as an All Black, he is not going to get convicted.
Well, I think young man with no prior convictions... Most young men with no prior convictions, they're not going to get a conviction from that in New Zealand. So unless he gets a judge who wants to make an example of him, and it's specifically
happen.
Like
not going
to All Blacks can't, you know,
I'll put the mortgage on that one.
There he is.
Yep.
Well, hopefully it doesn't. Well, I don't want to see his fuck up his life. So
yeah,
bad decision.
Yes, he's a young man driving a fast motorbike.
I've never run away from the cops. I got a mate who did it.
I've never even had a speeding ticket.
Really?
Never.
I've had a few, but I had a mate who sped away from the cops and then crashed while speeding away from the cops. So
that's pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. Yeah. Oh, well, he's a lot older now and wiser. Well, look, Mark, another week, another run, another milestone run, another week of rugby.
Mm-hmm.
I if you had to sum up all of those things and come up with like a theme for all of them, what would you say that it binds the run, the week of rugby, and also the conversation of this podcast?
Tweeddale!
Tweeddale!
Water blasting! <That's>... Masonry!
Thanks for the beers.
Painting!
Well done.
Interiors, exteriors!
Yeah, exactly. Clean your toilet bowl.
Don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, if you paid them enough, they probably would. They'd like, be
trouble. Everyone has a price, right?
Exactly. How much would I cost if I took a massive shit, and I'm talking like a night on the carriage.
Remember, we're on Spotify. We are on
iHeartRadio.
Apple Podcasts.
Okay, well, let me finish my question. So I...
We'll catch you guys later. See everybody.
Wait.
So then, bye.
No, I want to know what the price is, okay? Quickly. We're not packing up yet. This podcast is still going. This is a premature exit. So if I
I'm well known for it. It's why I've got two children.
If I had a massive nine in the carries, really going for it, had, and you know, big meal of oats the morning before, just felt a bit constipated for 3 days leading into it, but the curry's got it going. And then I just explosive diarrhea everywhere, and then left it for 4.5 days to dry against the bowl.
Bro.
What's the cleaning price?
God, I don't know.
What is it? So, okay, let's start the bidding. I'm going to start the bidding at $150.
Hell no.
So, we'll take it up to $500.
Fuck no.
So, you wouldn't clean... It's not a hard job. It's not going to... It's going to take you less than 10... I clean
diarrhea for $500. Okay, bucks. It needs to be more zeros, motherfucker.
So, $1,500
bucks?
I think you'd do it. Probably. You are the weirdest motherfucker, don't
I? Worked at a petrol station before, and you had to clean the toilets. Those things are pretty fucking gross. Exactly. So I was getting paid a lot less than $1,500 bucks to clean that toilet.
People out there, if you want him to clean your... So, $1,200?
Yeah, probably.
$2. We can go and write back down. Yeah. All right, well, now we know that. We can end this podcast. Thank you, Mark.
There you go.
Appreciate it. Well, you did it. So, look, this is the thing. I have to reach...
Get in there, mother trucker.
I'm reaching like this, and you're just like, you're Donald Trumping me. Good to see you. That's the old Donald Trump. Anyway.
Just grab him by the pussy.
Let's end this podcast. I don't know. See you later. Bye-bye.